I know you don't smoke weed. I know this. But I'm going to get you high today. Because it's Friday. You ain't got no job. And you ain't got shit to do.
Everybody's got a holiday. Some got Christmas and New Year's. But everybody's mine. I got 52 a year. That is my day.
Y'all, hey, what's going on? Welcome to Let's Talk on Blog Talk Radio. I'm your host, Mr. Talk, and happy Friday to you. All right, Friday is my holiday. That's what I'm talking about right there. And y'all can never beat a Friday. That's for dang on sure. So how y'all doing out there? I hope everybody's having a good Friday and thinking about what you're going to be doing this weekend, because I know some of you got some things planned. And, of course, you know, I know I do. Anyway. So how y'all doing out there? It's the second day of August. We coming up on them dog days of summer. And you know what that means. Certain places is going to get hot. That's right. It's going to get very, very, very hot. I don't know how y'all going to handle that, but I know what I'm going to do. I'm going to get me a couple of nice ice cold drinks and sit back and talk to y'all on the radio. That's right. Oh, man, I'm telling you. I like that song right there. That song on Friday just gets you to jumping. But wait till y'all hear the Friday mix. I got some things for you on that also. Somebody said they wanted to hear Mozart yesterday. Well, I got a surprise for you. That's for dang on sure. All right. Welcome to the show, y'all. My Grain, I see you out there as always. You first in and always throwing some stuff out there. I know. And then we got my boy N.O. in the house. What's up? What's up? And I see you out there, you ready yourself. So, hey, right, let's get on with the get on. You know what I mean? Simple. It's Friday. It's the end of the week. Some of y'all got paid today. You understand what I'm saying? Some of y'all got paid today. So I know y'all about ready to hit the town once you hit that time clock for the final time for the week. Just don't overdo it, okay? Just don't overdo it. Remember, just like Friday, Monday be right here too. That's right. Anyway, so what's happening out there, y'all? It's a wonderful day. It's a wonderful day. I'm telling you, I'm feeling good. I am. Can y'all hear the calmness in my voice? Yeah, I know. I don't reach that point in my life now to where I just have to be calm and relax and keep my blood pressure down and enjoy life as it is. Ain't no need of trying to force anything that won't fit. I know that was somebody made that a song, didn't they? Or if they didn't, they should have been. If it don't fit, don't force it. Hey, now that is a thoughtful life that everyone should be trying to live by. If it don't force, don't force, don't fix it. No, if it whatever, if it don't fit, don't force it. I know what I'm trying to say. Dang it, I'm all right. I haven't been partaking in anything besides the water. Thank you. Anyway, so we're going to go ahead with the show. And I hope everybody is ready. Once again, I want to thank everybody for joining me here today. If you want to join the conversation, just give me a call, 347-838-8622. Email me at ericletstalk@gmail.com. Stop by my Facebook page, Let's Talk with Eric Jackson at facebook.com. Leave a message, send a friend request, whatever you want to do. Just nothing negative, okay? If you throw it out there, don't be surprised to get thrown back at you, all right? That's right. Hey, and I have the page policeman, right there. He be on there as much as I do. So if you throw somebody that crazy, if I don't get you, I know he will. And that's for show, as he like to say. Thought I don't be listening to you. Uh-huh, I hear you. All right. Anyway, so without further ado, let's get on with the get on. Number one is like this. The house rules are as follows. When you call the show, act as an adult, okay? If you come in throwing blows and you can't take them, don't do it, okay? Because there are certain ones of us on this show, we're going to throw blows back. It's just that simple. We're throwing blows back. We're not going to hesitate. We're not going to play. You know, if you come in there throwing haymakers, be prepared because we're going to throw some uppercuts and haymakers our dang on self. And you may just go down for the count. And don't be expecting Mr. Talk to be giving you the eight count. If you don't get up on your own, hey, that's on you. That's right. I'm just saying. I'm just putting it out there. Anyway, so the house rules are simple. And they really are. We like to hear all what you have to say. We enjoy to hear what you say because that is the form of the show. We give you a chance to voice your opinion and maybe, you know, we learn something, and maybe you'll learn something. Hopefully, you know, every time we have a show, someone learns something. I know I do. You know, if it's just the smallest of things, I do learn something. And I hope that you do, too, when you do call in and when you do listen to the show. All right, I want to say welcome to everybody who's listening on whatever device you're listening on. And you know, I appreciate your business listening to this. I appreciate your participation and you listening to the show because without your support, there would be no show. Okay. However, if you do happen to call into the show, don't call in here trying to start a mess. Don't be a personally attacking anyone. Okay. Because once you're personally attacking anyone, we don't have that on the show. We don't do drama on this show. So if you have drama with another host or on another show, don't bring it here because we're not tolerating that. Because contrary to what many people believe, we all get along on this show. Now, there's times we won't agree with each other, you know, and we may talk to each other and yell at each other, but it's all out of love and all in the spreading of knowledge and understanding and educating each other. Okay, it's not like we have a dislike for each other. Well, some of them may, but I don't, okay? But the bottom line is, when you come to the show, please act as an adult, and we'll be all right, okay? That's what the house rules of the day. If y'all notice, I'm just being cool because I'm feeling pretty good. You know, I had a great conversation this morning with a dear friend, so I'm feeling real well, and I'm ready to do my thing today. I'm telling you. So, like I said before, let's get on with this show. Now, you know, you know what, before I get into my ranting and raving, we're going to go on and knock a couple of things out of the way first. No, we're not. I'm going to say it. I'm going to put it out there. It did. We're going to go from there. All right, today, y'all, is Freedom Friday. Y'all know what Freedom Friday is. That's when we let you, the caller, decide what the topic is going to be once I get off my soapbox or what have you. Okay, so if there's anything you want to talk about or something that's on your mind that you need to just let out, hey, today is your day. Today is your day to let it be known, and we talk about it. Now, I may start it off in one direction, but being that it's Freedom Friday, I have no idea where we're going to end up at, but I can guarantee you this, it's going to be a great year. It's going to be wonderful. That's right. And that's the beauty of the callers and the participants of this show. There's a wide range of knowledge and experience and opinion that is always expressed. And that I love that. I really do. I really love that. So with that being said, don't feel slighted or don't be embarrassed to call in and voice your opinion, because that's what it's all about. It is. That's what it's all about. Now, speaking of opinion and things of that consequence, this is what I want to open up with. All right, y'all ready? Because I'm about to piss somebody off. Yes, I said pissed. Yes, because I know I'm about to make somebody mad. And you know what? It's okay, because it is what it is, and it's going to be what it's going to be. Here it is. Simple. Once again, y'all, we have an instance where a white man had used the word nigger. All right? He has used some words that has really gotten some people upset in the community and in the nation and so forth and so on. Once again, this word has come up, and everybody's in an uproar. Is it because he's a professional football player? Is it because he went to the University of Florida along with Aaron Hernandez? Is it because he's racist? Is it because America, and I'm talking black, white, purple, green, orange, rainbow, whatever color you are, just a bunch of freaking hypocrites? And you know what? I think it's the latter. It's a bunch of hypocrites. That's what America is. And especially not just America, but the main people that always jumping up and ranting and raving about this word, they're a bunch of hypocrites too. The same ones that's out there hopping around talking about he shouldn't have said that, he racist, and he's this and that, are the same ones out there buying the music and the records of artists that's using these same words and making money off of it. And we walk around saying it. Yes, we do. We walk around singing, using that same word. But, oh, when somebody else uses it that's not in the music industry or someone we really like, then there's a problem with them saying that. Why is this, people? Because we are a bunch of freaking hypocrites. That's why. I'm going to say it. I ain't got no problem with saying it. Like I said, I'm going to make somebody mad today, but it's okay. You'll get the hell over it. Why? Why do we always have to go through this? And of course, our media is just outstanding because, like always, they get up and what they do, they just blow it out of proportion and everybody sees it and everybody is in the uproar. But what about your so-called white friends that hang out with you, and as soon as you, and as soon as y'all get together and y'all see some of your old boys, you know, the white, your white partner in crime, he's yelling, "Hey, that's my nigga right there." You don't get upset about that. Tell me this bullshit, excuse my language, about it's a term of endearment. If it's such a term of endearment, why you get upset when somebody else use it? You understand what I'm saying? But yet, Riley Cooper, a professional football player with the Philadelphia Eagles, got a little bit too much liquor in him, and he used what he said. He said what he said. Now, here's another thing. How many of you have gotten upset? You've been out of the club and gotten upset, and something happened, and you said some of the same things. Oh, I know what the damn difference is. Nobody was standing there to record you. So the media didn't get a hold of it. So it was okay then, right? And the next morning or the next day, when you sobered up and your friends told you what you said, you laughed about it and shrugged it off. But yet now it's a big issue because somebody else has used the word outside of our normal environment, and we have a problem with that. And the media is just hyping it up because we allow them to hype it up. That's all I'm saying. America is a bunch of freaking hypocrites, especially in the black community. Hey, really? Or is it still repercussions from the Zimmerman Trayvon Martin trial? Is that what it is? Are we still riding that boat right now? So anything is done where it is not related to black on black, there's an issue with that, right? Get the hell over it. I've said it before and I said it again. As long as you mentally allow yourself to be held in slavery by that, then you will always be in slavery. I'm not backing up on what I said. Never have and never will. I told you I'm pissing y'all off today. And then to top it all off, we have Mr. Nick Cannon, Kerry, who wants to pen open letter to some white chick actress he's calling family because she's a freaking knucklehead and she can't keep herself out of trouble. Well, Mr. Nick Cannon, I'm here to tell you, what about all our brothers and sisters out there that's killing each other, that's behind bars and having trouble in communities, but I don't see you penning an open letter to them. I don't see you telling them that they're your family and you there for them. I don't see you doing any of that. But yet, these are the people and the things that we are always promoting and saying they're such good people. But yet, their perspectives or their vision is kind of blurry, don't you think? Don't you think? And us hypocritical-ass Americans or Afro-Americans or black folk or colored people or waspics, Negroes, Negras, whatever the hell you want to say, need to get it together with the rest of the world. And I told y'all, I'm going to make y'all mad today. I don't care. It's Freedom Friday. And I'm free to say what the hell I want. You understand what I'm saying? You know, and it is amazing how that same word is used in, man, all kind of music today, especially with hip-hop and gangster rap and all that. And you be right there bobbing your head. You don't get upset about that when you should. It's not used in a term of endearment then. It's used in a negative light. But I don't see you up and protesting and getting upset about that, do you? Are you? America is so hypocritical of a lot of things, man. And until we realize, stop being so freaking hypocritical, we're never going to get anywhere. I don't care what race you are. I don't. Stop allowing the media and other people to determine what you feel is right and what you feel is wrong. You understand what I'm saying? Do you understand what I'm saying? Because until then, we all in freaking slavery. That's right. And Joe, I'm not tolerant of that word, but my point is this. And everybody knows on this show, I don't allow this show on the word. I'm saying it to prove a point right now. Okay? And plus, it's my freaking show. However, what I'm saying is, if you're going to be up in arms about somebody else using it, then maybe you need to stop patronizing individuals that also use it. In the music or the CDs and whatever, the movies and whatever you have in your possession. Oh, but that's okay. That's all right because it's in the movie. That's okay because it's in the music. No, it's not okay. If you don't tolerate it one place, why are you allowed tolerating it somewhere else? Even in your own houses, some of you. Even in your own freaking community. But yet you want to get upset because this little white guy boy said it at a club because he got some damn alcohol in him. Now, I know what some of y'all going to say. A drunk man tells no lie. Yeah, that's true. But a drunk man don't use any common sense or intelligence either. Now. You understand what I'm saying? Do you really understand what I'm saying here? Stop being so freaking hypocritical. Stop letting the media lead you around by the nose. Or in other words, not lead you, some of you around by the nuts. And the other ones around by the titties or the coochie. All right? Stand for something, damn it. Stop being on the fence. Stop jumping up and down or back and forth, depending on where you at the time. That's all. Because I'm so tired every time I pop on my computer the news or the NFL Network, I'm looking at this. Riley Cooper, there's a problem here. The only problem it is the American society, the hypocritical stances and beliefs that they stand for. That is what. Okay? And, Kat, I'm not complaining. I'm just making some valid points here. It's not a complaint. It's a point of view that I'm putting out there that is mine, my theory, my beliefs, my opinion. It's not all about complaining. I just want to be known that we need to stop being so freaking hypocritical. Okay? That's all. That's all. And Nick Cannon, I know you're trying to help people, but before you go outside your yard to help someone, you need to stay within your own yard and clean that up first. Help clean that up. That's right. All right. I had to get that out. And like I said, I'll make some of you mad, but it's okay. You'll get over it, hopefully. But I think that's a valid point that needed to be made. That's right. It's Friday. I can say what I want to. I can say what I want to any day, but I'm saying it today. All right? Now, and that's just opening for the show. Like I said, it's Friday. Y'all decide what y'all want to talk about, but I just wanted to put that on there. Okay? I just wanted to add that before we get started going somewhere else. Stop being so freaking hypocritical. Okay. Now. With that being said, it's time for the quote of the day and the song of the day so I can make y'all feel good about yourselves again, okay? Oh, Chris, I see y'all there. I ain't forgot about y'all. I'm going to get you on, man. I'm going to get you on. All right. Here's the quote of the day, and I think this is a very good one. And here it is. Arriving at one goal is the starting point to another. That's right. Once you reach one goal, don't stop at that one goal. Go on and start working on the next one. That way you'll always, always be bettering yourself, striving for something better. You know, some people, they set goals for themselves, and once they set that one goal and they reach it, that's it. They call it a day. But what you should do is say, okay, that's it. Let's go on and go on to the next show, the next goal, then the next goal. And, man, you'll be surprised at the progress you make without even realizing it. Because you're not allowing yourself to become content. You're not allowing yourself to chill out. You know, you're having fun as you're improving yourselves. Joe, I would, and Kat, do not do that, okay? Don't even start that. Anyway, so that is the quote of the day. Right at one goal is the starting point to another. All right, now, with that being said, here it is. Here we go. Y'all wanna start playing. Here it is, the song of the day. And as I said, yesterday I was asked to play some classical music. Well, I got some classical music for you today, and I hope you enjoy it, because it's some good classical music. My version of it, it is classical. That's for dang on sure. All right. So without further ado, here is the songs and the Friday mix of the day.
Amadeus is born. 1761, at the age of 5, Amadeus begins composing. 1773, he writes his first piano concerto. 1782, Wolfgang Amadeus Mozart marries Constance Weber. 1784, Wolfgang Amadeus Mozart becomes a Freemason. 1791, Mozart composes the Magic Flute. On December 5th of that same year, Mozart dies. 1985, Austrian rock singer Falco records Wolfgang Amadeus, Amadeus, Amadeus.
All right, y'all, that was it. That was that was your Friday mix right there. Yes, it was. That's what I'm talking about. I was rocking. I'm telling you, man. The Fifth of Beethoven and Rock Me Amadeus. I know some of you remember that, but oh, yeah, those were some skate nights back in the day. But, yeah. And no, Cat, I don't buy anything by Jay-Z, 2 Chainz. Any of that good stuff. No, I actually like Bob Dylan. His music is pretty nice at times. So there, now, thank you. Anyway, welcome back to the show. This is Let's Talk on Blog Talk Radio. I'm the host, Mr. Talking. We got it's Freedom Friday, so hope y'all ready for a great show. And we're going to make some things go on here in a minute. That's right. So, well, if you want to join the conversation today, just give me a call, 347-838-8622. If you're shy, you can always join us in the chat room. Just go to www.blogtalkradio.com/Eric Jackson 62 and join the crew there. And they always having a conversation about something there. And usually it's stimulating. Sometimes it's just outrageously crazy. But either way, join us there. You know, you get your 2 cents in there if you want to. Or send me an email to ericletstalk@gmail.com while we're on the air, and I'll read your comment there as also. All right, so with all that being said, it's time to open the lines, and let's see who we have on the line and on the switchboard and see what's going on. First, I'm going to give some shout-outs real fast. Indiana, I see you. You're always stirring up some stuff as normal. I got your number, though. All right, my guest in the chat room, Cat Migraine, welcome to the show. Rob was there somewhere, but you know, it's all good. Anyway,
So without further, let me go on and bring Chris and Lo in the house, and we're going to get the show started today. Good evening, good afternoon, gentlemen. How y'all doing today?
Shalom, hey. Brothers.
Good, how's it going?
I'm doing fine. I'm doing fine. What's on your mind today?
Didn't Bob Dylan admit that he sold his soul to the devil for fame?
Okay, I don't know. I don't follow Bob Dylan that closely, so I can take.
They got an interview of the man, didn't it?
Oh,
really?
Yeah.
Okay. All right. Well, you know, like I said, I don't follow him that closely. When I hear his music, but I don't worry about the rest of it.
I know you don't. I'm just saying, be careful of what you listen to. That's all I'm saying.
Be careful what?
Of what you listen to as far as artists and different things like that. You think about it, a lot of people will tell you, oh, well, yeah, listen to all that rap music, makes these people this and that or whatever. That's partially true, because you do become a part of what you are associating yourself with.
Right, okay.
Yeah, so, I mean, you know, I don't care. Oh, it's Bob Dylan, he's singing about running through the meadows with flowers in your teeth. Yeah, well, that may be on the outsource. Just be careful.
Okay. Well, thank you for that information. Y'all be careful listening to certain artists, like I always say. What you going to say, Chris?
I'm going to listen to whatever the hell I feel like it. And whatever that man wants to do, that's his business. If he wants to, you know, buy Elephant Man bones and paint them different colors, that's his business. I think he's a great artist. What a man or a woman wants to do in their own spare time, you know, R. Kelly was accused of doing certain things to a little girl. I think he's one of the greatest musicians next to Prince that ever lived. So that man want to sell his soul to the devil and all that, man, that's your business. You know, I think you got
to get the fuck out of here, Chris. Nobody want that bullshit, man. That's the problem with the world today. Nobody give a damn. Give a damn about anything.
Wow, that's rude.
That's the problem.
That was rude. First of all, I wasn't even finished and he cut me off. Really having a good day.
Go ahead, man. Say what you
got to
say.
And I am. I think, you know, I listen to Jay-Z. That's another artist I really endure and love and admire his way of thinking, and not really worried about should I go this way or should I go that way to please everyone. That's the damn problem. We was talking about America. We're in a society where we always have to think, is it going to offend someone? You know, should I say it this way so they won't be so sensitive? So they won't feel it, won't be offended. When all you're doing is just making an honest point. As far as that N-word, I don't care nothing about it. Just like Bob Dylan and Jay-Z, that is totally up to you. Call me a nigga as much as you want. It makes you feel good. It's just a word to me. It don't offend me.
Well, I understand that. I understand that. If that's your view, you know what? If that's your view, that's fine. But here's my point I'm trying to make. You know, if someone else uses it and you up in an uproar about it, but you buying all these, you know, you support artists that use the word and, you know, spending money making them rich because, you know, that's some of the words they're using in music, then that kind of makes you a hypocrite. That's all I'm saying. Just be on one side or the other. You know, understand what I'm saying?
And being that N-word, it's not a color. You got white, black, Hispanic, Latino, Chinese, Asian, Russians. It's not just a, you know, directly pointed at.
Can I chime in again?
It's not. It's a word.
Can I chime in again?
It's really open to wherever you want to choose it and use it as. So gender or nigger religion or whatever. It's just a word to me. It ain't nothing but a word. Wherever you want to take.
I'm going to chime in again with get the fuck out of here. No one in this country has been called a goddamn nigga except for black people. And now you want to turn this shit around and give it to your white buddy that you like and give it to this person. Get the hell out of here, man. That's crazy.
Again,
so you have children.
Or if you was listening before you got on here before, you're constantly trying to disrespect me, okay? Telling me to get the fuck out of here, and if I was,
hey, bro, if you take this shit personal, that's too goddamn bad.
Mr. Talk said earlier, you are what you think. So if I respond to if you responded to that, then that's fucked. Okay, I heard.
I'm gonna ask you again. Do you got kids?
I listened to this show from the beginning, and Mr. One of the things Mr. Talk said is, You are what you respond to.
First. Do you got kids?
There are white kids in the suburbs wish they can be called the N-word, trying to act like and portray what they think black people in the hood is acting like. See, so you got white, you got black niggas, you got niggas on the phone right now that's getting ready to call in. They're everywhere. Niggas with attitudes. So, pardon me, so you get the fuck out of here because I'm talking about the real world.
Not really. Like I asked you, do you have children?
And I don't see what that has to do with anything.
That's got every damn thing to do with it, man, because if one of your children come to your house and tell you some grown-ass white man called him a fucking nigga, you're going to go off about it. And you can say what you want to.
That's the response, and you're not going to tell me what I will do.
All right, bro. All right, man.
You can only say what you can do. I'm not responsible
for
what you do, and you're not responsible for how I handle things in my society.
You're right.
It was being thrown off
right.
About.
Okay.
Telling me to get the fuck out of here real childish and tell me what I'm going to do, you got a lot of growing up to do, sir. You really do.
You did say before that you smoke marijuana in your private time because you got back problems and stuff, so maybe you wouldn't go out there and check that dude. Maybe you're right.
So, hey, you take it how you would. I never said I smoked marijuana because I got back problems.
You had an accident, Chris. I remember you saying
marijuana,
that.
Marijuana should be legalized for people.
Okay, gentlemen. Okay,
Hold on.
All right, hold on. Let me bring Mr. Vernon in. Vernon, what's going on, man?
What's going on, Eric? I might have that noise going today. I don't know, man. Do I got a lot of it?
I don't hear it myself.
Okay. Yeah, I'm like Popeye today, man. That's all I can stand, and I can't stand no more.
There you go.
I'm gonna have to side with Big Chris on this today, man, because I feel the same way Chris feel about the word. Now, I used to have a different mind frame on that word. I used to have a totally different mind frame on it. But as I got older and more mature and understood, you know, had people to sit down and break it down to me, why would you get word mad about something that you use on a constant basis yourself, man?
Well, you use it all the time, but if somebody else uses it, you're gonna get pissed off about it.
That's my point, Vernon. That is the point I'm trying to make right there.
That is the point. Like myself, I don't use the word at all.
Uh-huh.
You know,
right.
I don't even allow my child to use the word. You know, I don't even. Most of the music I listen to it has nowhere in it. Okay, unless I just buy it and didn't realize it, then I don't listen to it. So, yes, I have the right if I want to get upset about the word because that's the way I feel about it. But what I was talking about was these hypocritical individuals out there that's patronizing artists. You know, they run around singing with but as soon as somebody else say it outside of the circle, it's an issue. And that's what I'm trying to bring attention to. Be on one side or the other, but quit jumping the fence, you know, because you being hypocritical.
About like what the football player said, I'm fine with it. You can call me a nigga all you want because that's not. And as far as the other caller, his no name, whoever he is or what he is, said if my son came to me and said somebody called him a nigga, the most important thing is I teach my son is rise above your emotions. How did you react? And how did you feel about them calling you that? That's what's most important. It ain't what they call you. It's how you responded. Grow up to be a man. That's what I'm teaching my children. It ain't about what they called you. It's how you feel. And are you going to accept that label at the end of the day?
What's up,
girl? What's happening, man? Whatever this dude get through running it. I ain't buying this.
You don't have to. I'm not here to tell the grown man how to be a grown man any damn way. You got your way of life, and I got mine, sir, and I respect that.
Now,
the problem with a lot of people, even around my neighborhood, I respect how you get down, but you can't respect how I get down and how I want to live my life. Ain't that some
really,
shit?
Really, that's not true, bro. I'm going to tell you straight up.
I'm going to
tell you straight up.
Hold on, wait a minute. I'm cool with how you roll, Bob Dylan sold his soul to the devil and blah, 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 whoop-de-whoop and all this jazz you've been spitting. I'm cool with that. But I got to get the fuck out of here, what I'm saying. All right. It's all good, though. Because your opinion don't pay my bill at the end of the day. Really
Exactly. And I was about to tell you, if you never call in again, if you kill yourself, I don't give a damn.
I'm cool with that
blank. And that's the same way with your opinions. I don't give a damn.
Your opinions don't pay my...
I come over here to say what I think. If you don't like it,
you came on here to say to get the fuck out of here. That's what you came to say.
Yeah. If that draws up your ass that tough, then, because that's bad. I mean, man, I'm sure that ain't the worst shit you ever heard. So, you know, that ain't going to hurt you. You know, I'm a grown-ass man. You know, you can't handle it. The man said at the beginning, hey, shit, it's going to be some grown people saying grown folk shit on here. That's just how it goes.
All right, hold on.
Personally, I think... All I expect is if you could show me a little, that would be nice. I'm not telling you what to do. It would be nice if you could show me respect the way I'm respecting you and your opinion. And I didn't come at the gangsters you like that. That's all I'm saying. I'm just like, man, I prefer to be around civilized people in society that know how to speak when spoken to and vice versa. I don't have conversations like that with people in the real world. You know what? I think Miami Heat going to win. Get the fuck out of here. You on bullshit. Huh? Now, if you was playing, it'd be one thing, but it didn't sound like you was. You was dead serious.
You don't know me.
It sounded like that. I could be wrong.
You don't know, motherfucker, you ain't snowing in my face. You don't know me. So leave it at
I don't
that.
Know
you. Don't know me.
All right, hold on. All right. All right. Look, okay, enough of that. I can fix that right there. And what we gonna do? We gonna send y'all to the quiet room so y'all can go on and talk that out. Okay, y'all in the quiet room together. Y'all go on and handle that. And let me bring Kat in.
Oh man, I didn't know you could do all that, Eric.
Oh yeah, I can do that, man. I can do it. Yes, I can. Oh, but we dropped one call, so I brought the other one out of the quiet room, so they're back now. Go ahead, Miss Kat. How you doing today?
I'm doing good. Can you hear me, Eric?
Yeah, I sure can.
Hey,
I didn't
know
I was breaking up today. Hey, Vernon. How are you?
I'm doing just fine.
Good. You know, Vernon, you're my favorite person on here.
Oh, don't say that, Kat. Allow them to mess around and say something bad or ugly at any time now.
Well, you have. I'd like to address one thing.
Go ahead.
Who was it that said Bob Dylan, sold his soul to the devil? That dude didn't know what he was talking about.
Why?
Lowe said Bob Dylan sold his soul to the devil.
He didn't. Bob Dylan was a... Okay, I'll be quiet if he wants to talk. I'll just let him talk.
Let him go on and talk.
Anyway, Bob Dylan was raised in as a Jew, and he became a born again Christian later on. And as far as I know, he's still a Christian. So I don't know why you think I don't believe this crap about selling your soul to the devil. Anyway, so.
It don't matter.
You know,
go on YouTube and check the video for yourself when he has an interview with Ed Bradley. Check the interview for yourself, and you'll hear it coming from his mouth. And on top of that, he ain't never been a Jew.
Okay, can I finish? Being a Jew, you don't even understand what being a Jew means. So, as a matter of fact, he was just joking around. Bob Dylan... You just don't understand him. You probably never listened to his music. So you don't even know that he just put out an anti-war album. You know, he's done more for black people than some of your so-called leaders.
What the hell, dude, that got to do with black people now? I knew you were going to bring race into this because you always do that.
Because he has done he's written a lot of things about racism and... the evils of this government toward blacks. And you probably don't even know that, do you?
Actually, I do. I have listened to Bob Dylan's music, and actually the scripture says Satan appears as an angel of light, which says he can do a lot of good stuff.
take your scripture and stuff it up your ass.
Mm-hmm. There you
Can't you mess with his God. You can't mess with his Bible now.
Exactly. There you go. Like I said, hey, like I told somebody off the show, you can be talking about some. She'll sneak race in some kind of way. I didn't say anything about a black or white person. Nothing.
Wow. Yeah. You know what? Okay, I can hear all that, but you ain't going to be talking about the scripture in the Bible. No, you're right, Bernie. You can't be messing with my God now. Okay.
Come on now.
You know, I'm not happy about it. I think everybody on the show realizes that. You know, don't do that. Please.
Don't
do that.
Don't mess with E-Man and God. Don't do that.
No.
You got
E-Man. Man.
But
I'll
anyway,
since this certain guy been gone, I didn't know if that damn Taylor really just worked good as it used to. I see that sucker feeling cool like
Oh yeah, I'm a turbocharged it. You know what I mean?
Wow. Oh gosh.
You know about that N word though, Eric, man. You know, I mean, but. A lot of people don't understand that, you know, they just don't understand or don't want to understand it. You know, it's crazy as hell to sit back and use the word, but when somebody out of the group or out of the circle use it, and then all of a sudden I'm pissed off about it. I got a big problem about it with it, but it's okay if I use it, but you better not use it.
My point exactly.
To me, that is some of the craziest, you know, at the point I'm at now in my life. Like I said, there was a point in my life where I didn't look at things like that. I looked at it from an ignorant standpoint, you know. But now, the way I look at it, that's crazy to even feel that way, man.
I agree with everything y'all,
exactly.
Both of you saying. I agree with all of that. I mean, you know, like I said, I mean, to me, no one gets the rights of passage to that, you know. There's no such thing. There's no race-specific rites of passage or, okay, well, you know, this is my white buddy, so it's okay he say it. Nobody gets that. I don't agree with that, you know. I mean, if you never transcend yourself beyond that, you know, like I mentioned before, they had you had Sharpton and the rest of the phonies with their little mock funeral for the word and everything, and it really meant nothing because, with all those people walking around with that fake casket and everything, and they supposedly going to bury the word, if you would have had one white boy ride by in a truck with a rebel flag on the back, you effing N-ger, N-words, whatever, they would have all immediately gotten upset about it, even after going through all of this mock funeral and stuff. So, I mean, hey, you know, I even respect the guy even more. Don't put it on the liquor. I respect him more for saying what's in him anyway. You know.
Mm-hmm.
The sucker
well,
I don't
know
like
what,
is
that,
the one. Go ahead.
But see, that's like I've said before, and I keep saying it. You know, and what the other problem is, we let the news media, you know, hype us up, you know, really get us going and going and going to where we put them blinders on, and now we up and we ranting and raving. But as soon as you stop talking to somebody about it, you know, you go and turn on 2 Chainz or whatever, you know, and they disrespecting the whole race, you know, from word one. But you won't have a problem with that. But that is what I have a problem with. You know, stop being so hypocritical. If you're gonna allow it, allow it. If not, the hell up and move on. You know, well, you understand what I'm saying. And that's the way I'm feeling. I thought it was time to let that be known. You know,
there's so many situations in this country where there are a lot of different things that are supposedly taboo, you know. And the funny thing is people can give the perception to the rest of the world that doesn't live here that, oh, no, America's not like, oh, we don't do that, and this and that. But the people that's here in this cesspool actually understand what goes, well, some of them understand what goes on. You know, you have that small group of people that
that's transcended, like your Barack Obamas and the people of the upper echelon that doesn't have to deal with those types of things, you know. I mean, supposedly he admitted that he's been followed in a store or something before, but, you know, you have some black people that have never, ever lived in our communities nor went through any of our situations. And they really can't associate with why we would even be having this discussion right now.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and I just think personally, you know, the thing that kills it the most is you have so many people trying to make everything that goes on taboo. Well, no, we don't talk about that because that doesn't happen. You know, I mean, come on now. Let's bring it out and put it on the table. You put a good subject on the table because it happens. The media doesn't hype it up unless they want you to focus on it anyway so they can backdoor something else around you. We all know that.
Yeah, well, we know all that. I'm sorry. I was reading something in the chat room then. Migraine, that's warning number one. All right. But anyway, and another thing I want to talk about when it comes to the media, you know, apparently the government has issued a travel warning for tourists, you know, in Muslim countries because of the possibility of terrorist activity this weekend. Now, here's my thing to this. If there's the possibility of that, right, why are the media putting it out there? It's not like the terrorists not watching TV, CNN, NBC, MSB, or whatever, you know, Fox News or whatever. So you think, you know, they're like, okay, we'll go ahead with it anyway, even though they're telling everybody not to come. Duh. Or as my child say, ding, ding, ding. Really, y'all? You know, sometimes our media, you know, they put too much out there. And I don't think they really think about it. They just see it's a story, and let's put it out there. Damn. Terrorists watch the news more than a normal Joe does, you know? So don't feel like they don't know what you're thinking. So if I was a terrorist, I'd be like, okay, no problem. We'll cancel this. No problem. They got us right now, you know?
Well, you,
but then later on when everything is fine, you know, well, here it comes. You know, so sometimes I think our media has a little bit too much access. You know, everybody wants to know about what they call that thing, transparency. Yeah, that thing they call transparency. You know, a little bit, sometimes there's a little bit too much transparency. You know what I mean? Some things, you know, you just need to keep under wraps until after it's done. But of course,
I don't see too much transparency right now. I mean, I see their mouth saying one thing and other things happening. I do see that. you got to remember before anything hits desk. And before anything hits an anchorman's desk, it's got to go through an editor. And certain things hit that desk and through the editor's desk, and they say, oh, we're not posting this. We're not going to talk about this, you know. And as a whole, I think 5 corporations own, like, almost all of the media. So, whose news do you get anyway?
Well, that's a good point. Good point. That I would say. And probably if you know, they figure they can't get any ratings or sensationalization out of it, they, you know, they're not going to print it or put it out there anyway. Just anything to keep some stuff started. But hold on. Well, I had somebody was on. Okay. Hold on. Let me bring somebody else in. 111, you're on the air. Go for
Hello,
it.
Hello, my. Nah, I'm not going to say it.
Oh,
I don't even
Lord.
Like to hear the word,
it's
all right?
Look. Welcome. Hello, Token. How are you today?
Now you're trying to make me feel bad. That's okay.
What's going on, Joe?
Oh my God. All right.
Hi, Honky Joe.
Jeez.
You cracking you.
Oh, boy. Okay, look, I don't understand what's going on, Eric. You don't like the guy who says that it's okay to use it amongst his people, but he doesn't want other people to use it. But you don't want it used in the chat.
Right.
You don't like it.
Well,
okay.
Joe, that's because the chat room, listen what I'm about to say. That's because the chat room is a part of my show, Joe. If I don't want you saying it on the air, what makes you think I want you typing it in my chat room?
Well, not just the chat room or saying it on the air, but you don't want to hear it from somebody else's mouth, right?
No, I really don't. No, I
okay.
don't.
And but the other guy doesn't want to hear it from other people's mouth.
And here's the thing. And here's the thing, though. You know, it's not like, you know, I say, well, I don't want to hear it, and then I go outside and you know, my son's friends outside, and that's the only thing coming out of their mouth, or some Joe running around here talking, because I correct them also. Don't say that around me.
Right.
You know,
right.
And, you know, my thing is, if you're gonna be up in the uproar about somebody else saying it, make sure you live in the same standard that you're requiring them to do. That's what I'm trying to say.
Yeah, but
and
I don't
see. Instance, that's not what's going on.
Okay, here's
but Eric.
Yes,
go ahead, Joe.
Here's the analogy that I use in the chat room. Husbands and wives can call each other bitches and bastards. Okay, it's a term of endearment, especially if they're going to be doing it hot and heavy in the bedroom.
Oh my
but,
God!
Well, Joe,
no wonder you're not married.
Joe, you know, I don't know what you're talking about, but I never.
All right,
never used that in the bedroom. I'm sorry.
People will say, you know, especially if they're a little pissed off outside of the bedroom, you come here, bitch, you know, to be playful. And she can say, what do you mean? Okay, and that's not with you. All right. But the thing is that they don't want anybody else saying it to their woman, just like she doesn't want her husband, her boyfriend, being called an asshole, which she may call him, or they may have that type of arrangement. So it's all up to the individual. But you can't say to another individual, okay, you can't do it this way because I don't want it done this way. If this guy...
Yes, ma'am.
Why can't you?
Well, how can you tell somebody else how to feel?
Joe, you know, I'll say it like this. You can try to put as many clothes on this as you want to, but it's still a naked, dead-ish man. This is, you put as much sugar in it as you want to, it's still shit.
Let me give you an example of somebody. Let me give you an example of someone who said something, then had to, and realized what they said and came and actually made a correction to it. I listened to a local talk radio show here in, you know, it's out of Austin, Cat. You probably know KJBL or something, KLBJ. Yeah.
Yeah.
And so one of the guys was talking about how he went to the bar and, He sat there and watched this lady get just totally drunk, staggering and everything. And, you know, he said he had a problem with her sitting there drinking, and the bartender, you know, they cut her off, but they let her walk out and get in her car. Then they called the police. Now, while he was talking, you know, he was berating everybody in there. So they took a break. And then he came back on the air. He said, you know what, I have to apologize. He said, because I realized what I was saying, but come to find out, I was part of the problem, too, because I could have stopped her, and I didn't. So, you know, that's like I was being hypocritical by complaining about everybody else doing it. And that's my point. You know, look, it's like this. Everybody, you know, wants to get up in arms about it, okay? Now, me personally, I don't have that word in my life at all. People around me don't use it. I surround myself with people who do not use it. Okay? It's just that simple. But there are people that as soon as they would complain about it, but then the next word out of their mouth, they're using it. And that's what I'm saying. You know, it's hypocritical, and it get blown out of proportion a lot of times by them saying hypocritical individuals that are the ones out there raising the most saying about it.
Yeah,
that's what I'm saying, Joe.
Yeah, but I don't think it's hypocritical. I know some people, there's a debate about
who should use it and who should not use it.
But if this guy...
Nobody should use it, Joe. Here's the point. That's my point. Nobody should use it.
The point is, if they're using it, they have
the right to use it.
Nah, you're telling other people not.
Nobody should use it. But since they are, you know, either you do or you don't. But don't be on that fence. You know, one minute you in the street, marching and protesting about it. But as soon as you get out of the attention, the eyesight of everybody else, every other word in your mouth is something like that. So let's squash it all together and don't use it.
No, that would be one thing. But I understand about how people, you know, view it and how they use it.
I have to ask. I mean, yesterday, when I first came on the show, I was at the gas station, and I'll go ahead and say it. You had a wigger with a W. He was there with his car parked, getting gas, and had the music all loud, and N-word this and N-word that. And then you had an N-word that was sitting inside of the car there with him waiting. And, I mean, the music was just loud, and every other word was N-word this and N-word that. And, you know, as a man of color, as a quote-unquote black man, I would have to ask myself, what the fuck was wrong with that black man sitting in that car with him? Because this is something that, to me, I take offense to. This is a word that was used to berate, and that was very demeaning to my foreparents.
Mm-hmm.
So I can just go and dig one of them up and spit in their face with some dumb shit like this, huh? That's not an option for me, man.
Well, then I guess it's up to people's personal, you know, opinions. I understand. When I was watching TV I was watching my internet thing. And what's her face? The one on The View. Ruby Goldberg. What's her name?
Whoopi?
Talking about it, and she said that the reason why some blacks are using it but don't want whites to use it is because now, if they use it themselves, they own it. That's what she said. And
that's
I understood what she was talking about.
That's foolish.
Yeah.
It's foolish.
But
either way,
you know,
it goes.
But you know, I'm sorry.
No, go ahead, Kat. Go ahead.
Yeah.
I said, go ahead, Kat.
I know. I was going to talk about that myself, Joe, about Whoopi Goldberg. I was going to bring that up a minute ago.
Mm-hmm.
I really lost respect for her when she said that, because I saw that episode, and I was like, what the hell, Whoopi? What, did you really understand what you're saying? I really respect Eric for his view on this, because, you know, if we want equality, we have to have, you know, if words are offensive, you can't have a double standard. They're offensive. Now, when you say that, when you use the term the N word, that's just as bad. I mean, just don't give anything to that word. Just eliminate that word from our language. But I don't say go so far as to ban Huckleberry Finn, you know, because that word is in there. That was part of the culture at the time.
Yeah, I know they want to take it out. I know they want to sanitize the classics. Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, that's stupid. But I really respect Eric for his viewpoint. He's not a double standard. And you know something, guys? I'm gonna, you know, go on out on a limb here, and I'm gonna tell you, as a white person, and it shouldn't have been just because I'm white. It should have been everybody. But this language in young kids today is just—it's out of control, really. In the Trayvon Martin case, when his friend got on the stand, that young girl, the case was lost. Was totally lost for the prosecution when she was on there. When she said that Trayvon Martin called him a creepy ass cracker. Let me tell you, that was so offensive. And if you can't understand the power of language and the emotions that it brings up when you hear things like that, it's just, if people are offensive by being called anything other than their names, or, you know, a tall guy, short guy, whatever, I mean, this has to end. This violence, the way we use language violently in our culture, has to come to an end, although it won't. But I just hope that men like Eric here, you know, other men listen, if people hear this, and maybe they'll influence some more people, some more men, more women, to not use those words, you know, to understand the power of language in your lives. And the only way you can change people is by setting an example. I don't permit those words in my home or for my grandchildren. So that's all I have to say.
So by her saying creepy ass cracker, that lost the whole case, huh?
I think it was a contributing thing because it showed motive on Trayvon's part of it could have. I wasn't there. I don't know what happened. I'm just saying, as a person, I didn't watch the trial every day, and it just happened that I saw that afternoon, her say that, and I was watching on my computer, and I was like, she has hurt the prosecution so bad by saying that. It's like the prosecution wanted to lose. I thought, what in the world? You've got four white people sitting on that jury, and they're listening to this. And I don't think that the prosecution even understood, or maybe they did, how damaging those words coming out of her mouth as a witness, the last moments of his life, the power that would have over that jury. I'm serious about this, guys.
Uh-huh.
I'm not saying that's what lost the case totally. I'm saying that really contributed to it.
That didn't contribute to anything. And for you to say that is ridiculous.
No, because all that mattered in that trial. Now listen, I'm not. Just listen. If you are a rational person, the only thing that mattered in that trial was the self-defense, was them proving that it was not self-defense. Only it didn't matter what happened prior to them meeting, what happened when Zimmerman didn't get out of the car and all that. Only thing that mattered was from the point that they made contact. That's the only thing that the prosecution could prove that it was not self-defense, and they could not do it. And when she said that Trayvon Martin called him that name, that was a racist statement. You can say anything you want. I'm not defending it in any way. I'm telling you the reality of what went on and the way the jurors did there hear this. You can get angry. I hear your hatefulness in your voice.
Lady, I'm going to tell you like I told B. Chris, you don't know me, so don't go with that.
Well, don't tell me, you know, and be so. You're so derogatory toward me, and I don't understand it. You're just a hateful
don't
man.
I'm listening to this garbage that you're saying about this kid getting killed, and all I'm hearing is, oh, if he wouldn't have called him a cracker, it would have never happened. Get out of here. The judge said out of home. We're not going to listen.
Eric didn't say that.
She didn't say that. She didn't say that. She said, but I understand what she's saying. She's saying that just the perception of that word, you know, played a big role in the juror's decision. Now, I understand what she's saying. Yeah.
I understand what she's saying, too, but I don't buy that because, like I said, it's garbage.
You can live denial if you want, but that is the truth.
All I know is the judge said, hey, we're not going to have this word used. We're not going to have that phrase used. We're not going to have his past brought in. Don't worry about the fact that his daddy was a magistrate judge and everybody
no,
all.
That wasn't what was on trial.
Okay. You can put it how you want to. Everybody that had anything to do with that trial, prosecution, defense, or whatever, already knew the outcome of that trial was going to be.
You made my point if you heard what you just said. I said the prosecution that allowed her to say that must not have known that it's hard for me to believe that the prosecution knew what damage that would do to their case by her testifying to that. And if they did, though, and they let her up there, that's worse. So you have to look at it either way. I'm not defending anything here. I'm just telling you how it looked.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Look, hold on for a minute. You know, in the chat room, Rob said the black race was on trial. Rob, I disagree with that. Tell you, during this trial, what was on trial was America and gun control. Okay, that was eventually what ended up being on trial. And I said it before, and I will say it again. That's what it was. Now, as far as the jurors and Rachel Gentile and all that, that came down to culture. Okay, one culture trying to make the other culture understand exactly how the other one felt at the time. Granted, you know, it wasn't understood, but as far as the verdict being predetermined? You're right, Lo. You are right about that. And I'm going to tell you why. Because until the poverty pimps got involved, Zimmerman, they had already said it was self-control. I mean, self-defense. Understand?
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, the people, I don't know why everybody got upset, because it just was like it was in the beginning. But the poverty pimps got involved. Everybody got excited. Then they forced these people to go back and try and investigate something that they had already let go. Most of the evidence was gone anyway. So now, okay, we got to have a trial because it's been hyped up. You know, it's like Flavor Flav and yeah, you know, if we hype now, you know, you done had those hype men out there. So now we got to go to trial. We already said it was self-defense. But now we got to go in here and try and let make everybody, appease everybody. So everybody, you know, either way, this was a no-win case. I don't care who was involved. It was a no-win case. Okay? Now, you know, it's sad, and it's really a shame that Trayvon, you know, lost his life in this situation. But, you know, it kind of, I want to say it kind of sort of, we did it. We caused all this. Well, no, we didn't cause. Yes, we did. The poverty pimps caused all this, because before everything was fine, they got involved and everybody got excited and it was this wrong and that wrong and that. But the verdict in the end was the same as it was in the beginning. But everybody seemed to not actually remember that in the beginning they said it was self defense.
Mm-hmm.
Understand what I'm saying?
I said the boy was gonna walk out of there free man anyway.
Sometimes we get caught up in letting what the media is feeding us, you know, fill our bellies. But sometimes, you know, you have to regurgitate some of that crap and go and look for your own meal and find out what you really need to eat, if y'all understand
Absolutely.
What I'm saying. I don't know where that nap came from, but it just popped in my head. But,
Absolutely.
You know, and then you would, you know, sometimes you would see more than what's really going on than what they want you to see. That's all I'm saying.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
I agree, man.
That's all I'm saying. You know, it's, you know, just that simple. You know, so,
you know.
But it goes back to the same original thing I was talking about, you know, earlier. You know, you have people that we have problems, you know, you got problems with this, you got a problem with that. But as soon as you threw out there being in public eye, you go back and you partake of the same things that you out there protesting. Really?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Really? So are you a solution to the problem, or are you a problem within the problem? That's the point I'm trying to make, and that's what I want people to understand. You know, you can't solve something if you're a part of the problem yourself. That's all right. I'm saying.
I mean,
you know, that's all I'm trying to say.
You're telling the truth, man. You're telling the truth. You know, I see you. I mean, I even see, like, young guys, well, guys my age with their children in their car playing shit like that, music like that. So, you know, nobody, like I said, nobody really should get a pass with this thing, man. I mean, you teaching your child at a young age foolish, you know, especially at those most impressionable
mm-hmm.
years. But to come up and say something
Look,
to them about it,
my
oh, that's kind of...
Look, my child is 10 years old. He has one of them little portable MP3 players. And, you know, every now and then I get, when we get together, I say, let me listen to some of the music on your thing. You know, and he gives me this funny look because he already know what I'm about to do. Right?
Mm-hmm.
So the music start playing, and I would tell him right then and there, erase that. You don't need to be listening to that. You know? And, you know, it's not that, as someone said in the chat room earlier, that I'm trying to shelter him. I'm trying to show him how what it is to be a real man, not what none of them thugs out there, telling him to be, or what somebody portraying that they're really not their damn selves. I want him to know
Absolutely.
What it is to listen to good music without disrespecting anybody. You know what I mean? Because he'll tell
Absolutely.
You right now. When we ride to old school, or sometimes it's talk radio. And he sit right there, and we have conversations listening to talk radio. You know, so it's not about sheltering him, because he gets his share of today's culture, believe me, because he got older brothers. But it's my job mm-hmm. to make him understand the difference between the two. That's as I see my job in raising him. And that's all,
you know,
and I can't do that. If every time he gets in my car, I got two chains bumping, you know, and I'm rattling my trunk and, you know, shaking the person car next to me. No, I can't do that. That's being hypocritical on my part then.
Mm-hmm.
And that's all I'm trying to help people see and understand.
I can give you the perfect example, man. I mean, Lil Wayne claims to be a blood, but this is TV gangster. This somebody. This ain't no thug. This ain't no real hoodlum. I mean, he was in a video with his flag in his pocket, but he got his rag in the wrong fucking pocket. Somebody dressed.
Once again. You know, that's the image that everybody wants to portray. But how many people actually realize that the Crips actually started out as a neighborhood watch?
Absolutely.
Like a neighborhood watch group. In the same aspect as the Black Panthers are saying. They started out helping the neighborhood.
I actually think that the Black Panthers were all about helping the neighborhood. I don't believe a lot of that propaganda that was put on them, man.
Oh my God, the Black Panthers were violent.
Well,
they were violent. Oh,
the Black Panthers.
Oh my God.
Wait a minute. The Black Panthers were only violent when violence was portrayed against them. That's when the Black Panthers were violent.
God.
The Black Panthers were actually helping the community. They had breakfast set up for the kids in the neighborhood. They educated kids and things. Now, you know what though? And here's the thing. Now, here's the thing that people don't want to want out. The Black Panthers were one of the first groups that used the Second Amendment in their favor.
Absolutely.
And that's when the government decided no. That's one of the only times that this government has said, no, everyone should not have weapons in their hands.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Well, you know what,
yeah.
Eric? I'm a little bit older than you. And let me tell you, there's a mountain out in California where Black Panthers took people and assassinated them that didn't go along with them. So there were different factions within the Black Panthers. So the Black
Panthers.
Where did it come from? No, I'm serious about this. The Black Panthers were infiltrated by the FBI guys. There's a lot. The Black Panthers also did work for the FBI.
Stop, Cat. Say that again. Say that one more time.
The Black Panthers were what? Infiltrated by the FBI.
Yeah, they were.
Look, Cat, I'm not disagreeing with you, but that's when all the trouble began right there. It was
Absolutely.
A ploy. It was a point. That's why the FBI infiltrated them to pick them up and call and give them the appearance of being a radical group instead of what
Absolutely.
They actually were. So yes, that's why the FBI did infiltrate them.
I don't know, Eric.
You are absolutely correct.
COINTELPRO, Martin Luther King, Black Panthers, another. Vietnam protesters and other groups
Harvey,
like that. Well, I don't know about him, I guess so, but I guess it would be. The thing was is that they were infiltrated by the FBI, and they didn't have infiltrators who were trying to cause trouble and blame it on the groups that they infiltrated.
Well, thank you, Joe.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Well, thank you, Joe.
Now it's probably fact.
Well, I have the documents. I downloaded some of the COMINTELPRO documents from the website.
And like this is the exact same thing as I was saying earlier about that court case, that Trayvon Martin court case. I'm looking at it from the perspective of reality. Oh no, this and this. I know how the Black Panther Party started. I got older family members that gave me all of that game on that. It wasn't just they sold drugs, they killed people. No, those people started programs to help people get registered to vote. They had lunch programs for children and for elderly people. They helped people go back and forth to the prison to see their family members that were in prison. They did a lot of things in the community. They pulled out assault weapons. They pulled out rifles and shotguns because they said, hey, you know what? If you're going to walk around with a gun, I'm going to use my Second Amendment right and walk around with a gun too. And if you're not going to get to beat somebody behind in front of us anymore, and we just stand there and take it.
Yeah, they were followers of, not direct followers, but they had the same philosophy as Malcolm X, yeah.
So I don't have a problem with
that. You know, if you just want to say the Black Panthers were this community outreach group, and that's all they were before the FBI infiltrated them, you're sadly mistaken.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, hold on, Kat. I'm going to ask you this question. What was the KKK about me?
Oh, they're horrible.
They were horrible, right?
Yeah.
Now, at
any
time, what was their I hate to do this, but I'm going to do it. What was their what social programs did they start for the neighborhood besides running black folk out their house and killing people they didn't feel like was their equal?
Why are you equating me with the KKK? Is what I want to know.
No, I'm trying to make a point, Kat. The Black Panthers, when they got started, was to take care of their neighborhood, to stop injustice that was happening within the black neighborhood. They started this local social programs to feed kids, hungry kids in the neighborhood, to help elderly and people get things they needed.
I think they started as a result of backlash and police brutality, right?
Yeah, right.
But they became militant also, Eric. You can't deny that.
I said once the FBI infiltrated them, yes, they did become and it was a reason behind that. But the original, it's just like the original premise of the Black Panthers were not militant. It was to help the community. And that is what they did. Once the government got involved, that's when everything went haywire. Because they did not want that to happen during that time. The Black Panthers utilized their Second Amendment rights like everybody is claiming today. But then the government said, whoa, wait a minute. No, we can't have that. So then they tried to take their guns away. So I'm not saying your point here that the Black Panthers were militant before they were infiltrated. That's what point I'm trying to get you to understand, Kat. Hold on, let me bring somebody else in this conversation right here. Oh, my goodness. All right, Knowledge, what's going on?
What's going on?
There we go.
How are you?
There we go.
I'm doing fine. How are you?
Good. I just wanted to bring some gravity to the situation, being that I am from Oakland, California, and the Black Panther Party started in 1966. What a lot of people don't know is that Huey Newton, Angela Davis, these were college students. Huey Newton got his PhD at UC Santa Cruz. Angela Davis was a student at UCLA. Bobby Seale was in the Air Force. And the whole FBI COINTELPRO situation occurred with the Chicago 8, which Bobby Seale was a part of. And I think that was back in 1968, during the Democratic National Convention. So the Black Panther Party was a social activist group. Just like you stated, they did social programs. They tried to make the community socially aware. They also taught things in terms of what people's rights were under the law. And even though they carried around weapons, the weapons were not loaded, which was why it wasn't a criminal offense. It wasn't a criminal offense. So, yeah, they walked around with weapons, but they had no bullets in them. So the fact that the Black Panther Party was a militant group, that's the same tag that Malcolm X received as well. The Nation of Islam was perceived as a militant group. Now, in comparison to the KKK, the KKK killed over, I believe it was 3,500 blacks during its entire existence. From what I know, the Black Panther Party didn't kill anybody. Not a one person. Not one. So, you know, we get this label of militancy when we're fighting for inclusion into a system that was never designed for us. So as soon as we speak out about the injustices, as soon as we speak out about the inequality in the educational system, in the employment system, in the judicial system, you have people who label us as militant because we're not going along with their program.
Absolutely.
And that's a misnomer. That's not militancy. That is sentient beings living in a situation that is not conducive to their overall development, and they're speaking out against it. That's called being a patriot, not a militant.
I'm clapping over here. Yeah, good point.
That's what patriotism is all about. That's what Europeans did when they came over here and they were trying to get out from under British rule. They did the exact same thing. It's funny how when black people do it, they're militant.
Yeah, they're aggressive.
What'd you say, Joe?
I said, you know, you're all militant.
Yeah.
So that's all I wanted to say about that, Eric.
Great point. Great point.
All right. Well, thank you, Knowledge. Great points. Great points. Go ahead, Kat. You can get your rebuttal in.
Well, I'm not saying, gosh, you all have just taken this, I don't know which y'all have done, like, Internology has put out, you know, kind of like these broad brushstrokes of everything. From the beginning, the Black Panthers wanted to present themselves as a militant group, a paramilitary group.
Get the fuck out of here.
Kat, I was there when the Black Panther Party was created in Oakland. I was there. Now, I don't know what you're talking about. I don't know what you're talking about. I was there.
Eric, he was a little boy when all
this happened. Paramilitary. What are you talking about, paramilitary? That's your police force. Your police force is paramilitary.
Okay, may I finish?
Let her finish. Go ahead, let her finish.
They wanted to present themselves as that, and they were militaristic. It was their uniforms and array and their use of a uniform that gave them a paramilitaristic persona, or whatever you want to call it. That was their brand.
But they were not walking around. But they were not walking around in sheets, covering their faces, were they?
Hanging people from trees.
Okay.
No.
Burning.
You know what, Eric?
I can't hear you. Say what?
Can you hear me now? They did start out as a community outreach.
Okay, I can hear
you're absolutely right, Eric. But what I wanted to say was they did wear those uniforms, and it was an era of violence. It was a reaction to what was going on because of the KKK, especially things that were happening in the South. It was a reaction to all that. They wanted to show that they were an army of good for their community. You're absolutely right. But because they put forth that paramilitaristic attitude and brand, that's why they were infiltrated by the FBI, because it was like it was like the Branch Davidians. What did they do wrong? You know, the government doesn't allow this in our country.
Okay,
well, Kevin, I'm glad you said that. Well, go ahead, Knowledge. Go ahead.
I'm just going to say this, and I'm going to leave it alone. Yes, yes, I was a little boy when the Black Panther Party was created. However, I was fortunate enough to have socially conscious parents who took me to Golden Gate Park in San Francisco to hear Angela Davis speak, who took me to downtown Oakland to hear Huey P. Newton speak, who took me to East Oakland to hear Bobby Seale speak. So I'm only speaking on what I saw and what I know. I wasn't in Texas looking from afar. I was there. I saw what they did. I saw them when they marched. I saw them when they spoke. I saw what they spoke about. These people were not a threat to anybody. They were about lifting the consciousness of the people in their community. That's all they were about. And they went about it in a way that was legal.
The problem was just what you just said. They went up, they used the justice system, and they were organized.
Exactly.
And that was a problem within itself. You got the other side of the tracks, if you know what I'm talking about, looking through their hazy lenses. Now, I don't see a problem over there. Of course you don't, because you don't live it. You wouldn't see a problem. If you don't have the police following you, stopping you, harassing you, jacking you up, beating you up, then you don't see a problem with it. Because it's not happening to you. You don't know anything about that. You know? And the funny thing about it, a lot of people don't even know when the KKK would burn crosses and hang people and do things of that nature, that was an old pagan ritual. That goes way back to paganism.
And it's funny that you mentioned that, brother, because I was talking to a friend last night, and she's in Delaware, and her son, they burned a cross on his front lawn just last night in Delaware. He's married, he's black, and his wife is Jewish.
Wow,
that's deep.
But yeah,
that's deep.
You know, it's in my whole thing is
racial
that,
society everybody's talking about.
And my whole thing is that if you weren't there and you didn't see it, then you only have a perception of what it was. You don't have the real picture of what it was. And I feel fortunate that I grew up in the 60s because I actually got to see stuff like that. And that was a very instrumental group. And, yeah, they were infiltrated by the FBI, and that's what destroyed them, just like the Nation of Islam was infiltrated by the FBI. But, damn, look who ran the FBI, a homosexual.
Exactly.
A psychopath.
Transvestite, actually.
He was a psychopath. And because of him, they won't even allow you in the government. You can't even stay in a position that long anymore. He's the reason. He was head of the FBI for 50 years. Go figure. I don't know how he pulled that one off.
Well, he had all the shit on Kennedy and Johnson and even before Kennedy. Hoover had a nice PR thing going for him. Everybody wanted to be a G-man, but he had the goods on everybody, just like they do nowadays.
Yeah,
but he was more
powerful. That's true.
Yeah.
That's true. You know, and are they still trying to take his name off the federal building?
I didn't know about that.
Yeah, they trying to take his name off of that building.
Oh, yeah?
Huh. Yeah. Off the H building.
Yeah, okay. You see how quiet that is. You don't see nobody out there protesting there, right?
we'll hold our breath on that one.
Yeah, really.
So,
but any organization, you know, any organization that has come about
to try to change and to help. I mean, you can even go as far as what was the other party? Well, the Tea Party. You know, supposedly the tea baggers were trying to help people. You know, they wanted to get back to the basics of the Constitution and all of this. Excuse me, all of this stuff. You're not going to tell me that you didn't have some provocateurs come in there and try to cause problems at those rallies. I mean,
well, I'm sure they did. Sure.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. You know, the Tea Party got a lot of steam moving, man.
Jesus. That wasn't, you know what? I'm sorry to cut you off. But people blamed the creation of the Tea Party on Ron Paul. Ron Paul, Tea Party was organized back in 2007, 2008 because he inspired that particular Tea Party. But you're right, the Tea Party got taken over by rhinos, and it was well-founded. When I heard about the Tea Party and how it was growing, I said to myself, where is this grassroots movement getting this fucking money from? Because grassroots movement, they don't have money. It's, you know, because
right.
It's funded from the people. But this group, Tea Party group, they were funded by, corporate America. So I knew it was bullshit.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. The crazy thing, I mean, what is that organization called? What is this? Golly, it's on the tip of my tongue.
Who's the head of it?
It's like the neighborhood, not community. What is it?
Not Acorn.
Chamber of Commerce. Chamber.
Chamber of Commerce?
Is it the Chamber of Commerce? Something that one
okay.
of those, I think it was either Scooter Libby or one of those guys
He was on the Bush administration, right?
Yeah. They back a lot of those organizations, man. A lot of the money that was funneled to those organizations, Tea Partiers and this and that, it was funneled through those organizations.
Oh,
so
the
they
PAC
got
groups?
It wasn't the PAC. It wasn't the PAC, no.
Huh?
No, I can't think of it right now.
Okay.
Golly. Go ahead. It'll come to me in a minute.
Yeah, but anytime we see anybody, you know, going up high in the political system, they're funded by the machine in some way. Otherwise, they just don't crawl up there.
If you don't have money,
you can't make it.
Right.
And, you know.
Right. The machine will throw money at both parties.
And
they'll throw a war. They'll throw money at both countries in a war.
Well, yeah, because both parties in both countries, I mean, they're serving the ends of, to me, it's the Rothschilds, and I don't have any real proof of it, but I'm going to believe that it's the Rothschilds because historically they were a very rich family, and they were the first to really start international banking, so I'm going to assume it's the Rothschilds. When you're that wealthy, when you're that connected, and you've had the history, you know, at least people throwing, you know, pointing fingers at you, saying that you have funded both sides in the conflict so that whoever loses, right, there's a winner, and that winner is going to pay back the interest on the loans that the Rothschilds give them and all that kind of good nonsense. So, to me, I think the Rothschilds run the world.
Yeah, they run Esau's world. Okay. You're right. They have run Esau's world. You're absolutely right.
Now, some other people will say the Zionists run the world. I don't know about the Zionist movement. They may, but from my subjective observation, I'm going to, because I know that the smoking gun is the Federal Reserve. There's no viable economic reason for that organization to even exist the way that it does. And the Rothschilds, they have a history of putting in Federal Reserve central banks like that in other countries. So I'm just going to say, I think it's the Rothschilds around the world. I think Obama, personally, I think he was a joke. I think he was a person. This is my theory. It was a personal bet between one of the Rothschilds and maybe betting against maybe a Rockefeller, saying, I'll bet you.
Go ahead.
I'll bet you I can get a black man that nobody knows about to get elected president of the United States and to put the icing on the cake. I'll give him a Muslim fucking name.
Wow.
I bet you.
Yeah.
Because they have that much
power.
In my
that's a lot to take,
goddamn.
shot. That's a lot to take.
I wouldn't doubt it. I wouldn't doubt it either.
That is a very interesting concept. Wow.
I will tell you. Observation. I'll tell you what happened.
You know, you say this about the worst thing that happened to this country. You say it over and over with the creation of the Federal Reserve. But just think of the alternative. If we did not have the Federal Reserve and we relied upon Congress
mm-hmm.
to make these decisions about funding the Treasury Department to print our money
mm-hmm.
and to keep track of our money supply and to make loans and, you know, do all the financial things they have to do to fund government, collect taxes,
mm-hmm.
provide foreign aid.
Mm-hmm.
Don't you think that would be a real quagmire? I mean,
because the premise you're operating from is that the Federal Reserve is at least a semi-legitimate organization whose independence from Congress is needed in order for them not to be influenced by Congress. But if you took away their powers and brought it back to the Treasury would print up money without having to have it borrowed. They wouldn't have to have bonds. We wouldn't have a debt owed to the Chinese almost of $3 trillion and to the Japanese and Saudi Arabians and everybody else. There would be no need to have the currency
mm-hmm.
founded on debt. It would just be printed.
Correct.
Therefore...
Right.
No.
Well, no, wait a minute.
Hold on.
No, you can't do that, because if we were just be able to print our own money and not have any thing to back it up at all, then it would go crazy. I mean, we would just be printing money. It would just be paper.
You're assuming we wouldn't have anything to back it up. Number one, we don't need gold to back up fiat money.
We can't. It would be crazy to back our money up with gold. We don't have enough gold to back up the money we have.
Well, we don't have enough gold. There's a theory that there's no gold in Fort Knox. Germany has to wait 7 years to get its gold back from Fort Knox.
We have more gold than any other nation on the earth. What are you talking
about?
No, but there's a theory there.
We don't have to worry about that. We're going to take what we want.
No.
But in any case, prior to the revolution, we had what was called script. Benjamin Franklin believed that
mm-hmm.
the script that they had issued, it was issued without gold backing, but it was issued without the sanctions
right.
of King George. He believed that the script, the fact that the colonies used their own currency without relying on the sanctions and approval of King George, was probably the major reason why there was the revolution. Okay? Because when you are independent from another country or from a central bank, borrowing money in order to issue money, you're a danger to that particular system. Now, it's something which people will really have to wrap their heads around, though, okay? Because people are used to the fact that bonds are being issued, and we're all told in the media that, okay, this is the way it's done. But prior to 1913, we didn't have a central
mm-hmm.
bank doing it. We only had the Treasury, and we're only supposed to coin money according to the Constitution. I personally don't have any problem with printing up of money. But the thing is that you cannot borrow. The fucking Federal Reserve is borrowing $85 billion a month and paying it to itself. It's the biggest fucking Ponzi
mm-hmm.
scheme that was ever created in the fucking history of the world.
I agree. Yep, and Thomas Jefferson warned the United States against having a central bank.
I disagree, because Thomas Jefferson couldn't foresee this globalization either. They didn't know that we'd be communicating.
That's not my point. He made an address. My point is he made an address during the Congress advising them never to allow central banking in the United States, because once you do that, that will be the country's ultimate downfall. Just like Joe was saying, you're printing money, you're borrowing off the money that you're printing, and you're creating interest on the loan that you're giving to the government. And the Federal Reserve, these are private bankers. It's not even the government. Even Alan Greenspan in the Senate Hearing Committee, they asked him, well, when you make the decisions that you make, don't you have to answer to someone? And he says, no.
No,
we don't have to answer to anybody.
I saw that clip. Yeah.
Thank you. Alan Greenspan said that in a Senate hearing committee. We don't answer to anyone.
Well, I didn't see the clip in
and
the
they don't.
Congress, but
they
I saw the other clip
but
where we said it on the talk show.
Yeah. On the premise, you all operate on the premise that the United States is in decline, and that is far from true.
Whoa.
What?
Whoa.
Oh, my God.
Whoa. We got 101 million people on fucking food stamps out of 305 million people in the total population.
No.
I think
hey,
that's the biggest.
Wait.
Stop. Hold up. Go ahead, Kat. Provide your evidence of the United States not being in decline. Please provide that evidence.
I'm going to kind of – you all can sit there and laugh at me and, you know, act like clowns if you want to. But the United States, by 2030, between 2030 and 2035 – we're going to hit such an energy boom. You guys are just going to be saying, yeah, Kat was right, you know.
Oh, that's all
right. You just don't
mm-hmm.
understand that when we get this energy boom going, this debt right now doesn't matter. These people that are on food stamps, they're on food stamps to prevent them from going out and robbing and pillaging. These are people who didn't educate themselves enough to get a job, and they're not able to be retrained, or they don't want to be retrained to get a job. Right now,
that's
you
foolish.
Have half of the people. Can I finish? Right now, you have half the people that are working, supporting the other half of the people who aren't working in this country. You've got so much wealth at the top right now. The top 3%, they pay like what 70-some% of all the taxes. Right now, you have people in this country vilifying corporations, vilifying rich people, saying corporations need to pay their fair share. It's the same shit that Hitler said before he took over Germany. It's the same shit the Nazis said. The same thing. So you people that believe that, you're just going to just be eating your words when this energy boom happens across this country, and there's this great explosion in jobs. You're still going to have people on food stamps. You're going to still have people without insurance. You're still going to have illegal immigration. We're always going to have these issues. We've always had them. We're always going to have them.
Well, the thing is, 2035 is a long way off. And we've had oil underneath Gulf Island. We've always had oil underneath Wyoming. We've always had oil underneath Oklahoma. But the government put a moratorium on them.
What?
No oil wells to be built, I think it was from Clinton's time, to be built on land. Why? Because there's a concerted plan to bring
down
America.
Hold on for a minute, Joe. Let me bring Goofy in.
Okay.
All right, Goofy, you're on the air. What's going on?
First
time caller. Gentlemen and ladies, happy Friday. Happy Baller Friday.
Hey.
I'm very
happy Friday to
shocked.
You too.
I'm very shocked as a listener because I was listening half of this time at the things that were being thrown out there and, you know, the ideas of certain individuals. Let's just say none of us are going to see that point in time. You know, it's going to be past long overdue before anything even gets changed. Some of our lives might be over with already. So we're not going to see nothing move forward. We're not going to see nothing change. And I'm sorry to say, we're going to be bitching and crying about this shit until the day we die.
By 20 fucking years from now? I hope I'm fucking dead 20 fucking years from now.
Speak for yourself.
I don't
find
out.
Never fucking know. But no, gentlemen and ladies, it's always an honor to be here with you guys. This is the greatest show on Blog Talk Radio. That's all I got to say.
The only thing that I see going up. Listen at it. The only thing that I see
I still got the trigger.
I know. The only thing I see going up is prices for everything. Everything is going up. Wages are not going up.
Inflation.
Prices are going up.
I'll tell you something when you finish, Lo.
I mean, me and another guy was talking about buying a car yesterday, and, if you go and buy the base model now, you're spending well over $20,000 for the base model, you know, with nothing in it.
Mm-hmm.
But if you go and apply for a job, you're still looking at a small amount of money. Even if you do go to college and get all this education. Oh, well, yeah, we can start out at $22,000 a year, $27,000. You got $100,000 in debt. That's not me.
No, not me.
Not me.
You have $100,000 in debt.
Okay.
For school, and
uh-huh.
You're gonna get started out at 23.5 or 26.5. Man, you'll
wow,
never come
out of that. Degree and what kind of job would pay you $23,000 a year with a degree?
There are lawyers.
If you got a job in your field, if you even went to school and got a degree, say you got a 2-year degree and you become an LVN, you're gonna make at least $40,000 a year on that. So that's a pretty good investment to pay for school. You can get jobs at the VA making that.
Depends on where you live.
Well, my word, a bad job so far. God,
you know,
hey,
depends on
okay,
where you
live. Let me ask this question, and you're right, Lo, depends on where you live, because everywhere you're not going to make that starting off the gate. Let me ask, do y'all believe the minimum wage should be at least $10 an hour?
No.
Yes.
No.
Okay.
Damn right I do. Why not?
Okay, that's two yes and one no.
Because if you have
knowledge.
I mean, two no's and yes. Why not?
I think it should, yes.
Because if you have a business, which is about, because I've done this on my spreadsheet. If you have a business that's doing like $1 million a year, and I compare the increase of a wage going from $7.25 to $10, then I compared it with if oil went up by, what did I compare it? 30, I think, from $30 to $32 a barrel. $100, $130 a barrel. Do you know that if just by increasing the wage from $7 to $10, if you have like only 10 employees, the profit margin, you don't have a profit margin. That $3 an hour is a lot of money to these small businesses. Now, it would be nice if we had the economy back in the 50s and 60s, where if you had $10 an hour and the economy was good and we had the manufacturing jobs back here and we didn't have the inflation caused by the Federal Reserve, then I would say, cool. But right now, under these circumstances, Obama wants to make a 10 and a fucking quarter an hour, which sounds really good. But if people have to be mandated to force that from 7.25 to $10, along with Obamacare, you talk about fucking people on welfare now, forget about it.
Yeah, but nobody's talking about, oh, I'm sorry, did I cut off somebody?
No, I was finished.
Oh, no one's talking about the slave labor people, you know, like they'll go out and get somebody from India to come and do a job much cheaper. And, you know, everybody seems to be okay with it, but, of course, the American man who was born on American soil, who desires that job, is qualified for that job, he can't get it because
he asks for too much. Oh, I agree with you. The thing is, the immigration is the other part of the problem.
Oh, wow.
That's that other fucking
thing. The government has to make it,
really,
give incentives to businesses to stay in this country. Now, what happens in Texas? Why is it so great down here? Because we don't have any corporate income tax. So businesses move
but
here.
That makes
we
it great, right?
And it's so great,
it makes it great
down
for
there,
Texas.
Really.
I think it is.
No, I agree. Just like in Las Vegas, you're not paying the fucking federal, state income tax and other income taxes. You have the opportunity for businesses and individuals to keep their own money to spend it the way they want, as opposed to the government robbing you. Everything that's happened today in America is a result of the corrupt fucking government. And this corrupt government goes all the way back to FDR. And I'm not just talking off out of the side of my neck, as Eric likes to say.
Sounds like it.
it goes back farther than that.
Mm-hmm. Love you, Eric.
Well, who's the one who said sounds like?
Hold on, let's bring Ebony in Ebony into the fight. Go ahead, Ebony.
I didn't know who it was. I thought it was either maids or ladies. Not ladies. I thought it was maids.
Okay.
All right, I'm not going on your program again, Ebony. Okay.
I'm only playing with you, Joe.
But the thing is, there's a book that came out. It's called The Betrayal of America, where this woman did research into our archives, United States archives, and British archives, and she found, I'm sorry, Russian archives. And she found out that we actually had Russian fucking spies and riddled throughout the FDR administration. Plus, FDR himself admired Stalin. That's how we got the fucking programs we got today. It's fucked up. The communist influence, don't think just because the wall came down that the fucking generals over there in Russia said, well, let's go to God some vodka now. They didn't fucking say that. They continued the fucking communist agenda towards America.
Man, I said it before.
Well, could it be also, just have to say, I have listened to the conversation on the way home. I went out to have a pedicure and a manicure, and I just feel so relaxed now. Just have to share that with you. Okay. But I have to share that. I just feel so great now.
Of course.
And I actually went to support one of my local black businesses that's just started up, and she's doing nails, you know, pedicures, manicures, massages, the whole works. And I had a complimentary, kind of thing done, and it was lovely. So just sharing that anyway. So my point, Joe, is that the question is, are some of our people in America and the UK, are we pricing ourselves out of jobs? Because the thing is, now we've got a global market. That means if you're not willing to do a job for a certain price, banks, all sorts of people will go elsewhere and get it cheaper, right?
Mm-hmm.
So in a way, we've kind of, with our demands for minimum wage and all sorts, we've kind of priced ourselves out in some circumstances, in some areas, we've priced ourselves completely out of the market. And you wonder, like, if you phone a bank, why are you phoning a bank and getting customer services in India? Well, you know what, hey, maybe the Indian customer service officers are willing to perform
labor.
A service for much cheaper than it would be done at home. So I guess we've got to look at, where in what areas have we given away the opportunities to have things here? Because the same way that the Indians can be outsourced, the same way some things abroad could be outsourced to America or to the UK to balance up the scales. But that's not happening, because a lot of the things that are, a lot of jobs out there, a lot of people in the UK and the US will not do. They're not prepared to do it. I think about
I disagree with you on that.
We have a National Health Service, right?
Mm-hmm.
Right, we have a National Health Service. Most of the people who work and do the menial jobs in the National Health Service, just like in the 50s and the 60s, are from Europe, other European countries, from Caribbean countries, from Africa, because people who are homegrown in the UK, and that's not just white, that's black, those people who are here are not prepared to work for those and do those jobs. So they've gone elsewhere. And then I hear those same people complaining about, not having work, and other people taking their jobs. No, they're jobs you just won't do.
Well, push comes to shove, if you're just about to set foot into a welfare office, if shame hasn't hit you, if shame has hit you, you're going to go out there and you're going to accept any type of job, especially in today's economy. There are people who are lawyers who have graduated from law school who are driving cabs. There are, I don't know how many thousands of PhDs other than lawyers who are driving cabs. Yes, there are people who are not in those low low-paying positions because they do, as Americans, want a living wage. But the Mexicans or other immigrants who come over here, they can afford to work for $5 an hour because also the employer knows these guys are not going to give them a hard time. They're not going to become unionized.
That's right. They're not.
And that's the fault of the government. I believe in America first, Germany first, Africa first, every nation for their citizens first. Immigration should not even be on the table here in America. We don't need immigrants, legal or illegal.
Hmm.
Well, you wouldn't if people, homegrown people, would do, and I don't totally agree with you on that in any sense, because I've seen it here, where people are being forced to go for jobs because they're getting unemployment. And you can walk into any benefit office in this country and hear people say no to jobs. It's not enough money. And these aren't people who are high flyers or have, you know, have got the qualifications. These are people who have never worked. And they will not do the jobs. They will not do menial jobs.
Oh, we have that here, too.
Yeah.
We have people who are third-generation welfare recipients. They don't want to work. But we also have an estimated, and this is a low estimate, of 11 million immigrants in this country. 11 million who probably can't speak English.
11 million,
that's a low estimate. Other people are saying 20 to 33 illegal immigrants. That's a lot of fucking people who take baths every day, shower, shit, eat our food, go to school, don't graduate well. They eat off. I already mentioned they eat our food. They go to our hospitals. They're taking up our natural resources, and they're not contributing.
And how many? And how many people are on benefits in your country?
Oh, we have 101 million people on welfare in this country.
Right. Okay. Yeah. So if those 101 million people got off their backsides and did some of the jobs that those people who are immigrants come and are prepared to do, and a lot of immigrants are prepared to do one job. I know a lot of people who are immigrants
that's
who do
the
free,
cost before
four
the
jobs.
Horse. If you take away the 33 million immigrants, and if you had the economy as bad as it is now, people would be going for those jobs.
Really?
Really, because people have
it's
done it in
happened.
The past traditionally. What about during the Great Depression when we had the itinerant farmer, when we had the people going from state to state looking for jobs?
We're not in the Depression, and we're not in that situation. No, what we've done, we've made a whole load of people, it's the same in your country as mine, so dependent on handouts. They're now so programmed to take handouts, even if those handouts were taken away, and now they're trying to do it in this country with universal credit. And I, you know, I work in the social system. I develop communities. I hear those same people who have been on state benefit for the last 20 years talking about how they're going to get sick, they're going to do this, they're going to do that, so they do not have to work.
I agree
with you. So they do not have to work. And that's the problem. That's the problem.
Do you hear what you're saying, guys? You're talking. After World War II, Europe was just decimated. The only way it was saved was to create a socialistic economic system there, and people were given, you know, goods and services and money and food, and because everybody was poor. So now you found out, look what's happened to Europe. You're broke. You tried the economic... the economic union, European Union, you're constantly having to bail each other out. Germany was the one who took austere measures over 15 years ago. So Germany's going to have to stand up there and help the rest of Europe out. And then here in the United States, we're trying to embrace socialism. So when you talk about America being in decline, it's only because of these social... You hit the nail on the head, Joe, when you started talking about FDR.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
when you let the market
dictate energy in this country, you're going to see a boom. When you get government out of the way, you get those government regulations out of the way, and the government, of course, we need government to regulate licenses and permits and things like that. But when we become a major player in the oil industry, it will save us. fuck this green energy stuff. We don't have time to sit around and develop it. I've been hearing this stuff since I was a little kid. Oh, we're going to have solar energy. Oh, we're going to have wind energy. Bullshit. It's not viable. We cannot run the world on solar and wind energy.
If you go out and compete with the oil barons, right, do you think that you're going to be able to compete? Because they've pretty got that tied down. They have a stranglehold on the Europe and the U.S. because of that control of the oil. I don't know how you're going to change that.
I got a book you can read. Interesting about the oil. When I was talking about we have oil underneath Gulf Island, Wyoming, etc. There's a book that was written 35 years ago. It's called Not the Oil Crisis. It's written by a guy who right now has lost a lot of credibility. But he's a chaplain, a guy named Lindsey Williams. If you guys have ever gone to the Alex Jones show, he's showing up there. You can download it from the net.
Mm-hmm.
It's free. It's a free PDF. What's the name of it? Not the oil. No energy oil crisis. Just look for Lindsey Williams. And he explains what happened. The government stopped the production of oil. It made it extremely hard for oil companies to produce oil because they wanted to take over America, the government. So, and this was written 35 years ago.
Well, like I said before, I said on another show, please take my advice and read Morals and Dogma by Albert Pike.
Yep.
Please
read
that.
Oh.
No,
the Illuminati founder. Here in the
no,
United
I'm not going to be Albert Pike. Crazy.
Hey, that's at your own discretion, but the man describes everything that's going on right now.
Well, supposedly he
predicted.
That's
your interpretation.
Wow.
Well, the man predicted the last two world wars.
I was about to say,
exactly
man.
How he said it, and the next one is going to come from exactly where he said. So,
yeah, he's predicting the Muslim conflict.
That wasn't hard to predict. That wasn't hard to predict since we've been at war with them since Jefferson was president.
It was only the fact that he was around in the 1800s and he made all of this shit up, I guess.
We've been at war with the Barbary pirates in the early 1800s, dude. Where you been?
Mm-hmm.
There wasn't
Hey, you have all that.
Our pirates didn't have any special knowledge.
Okay. He just happened to be rubbing elbows with the people that make all the decisions that are pertinent. And we just sitting around assuming shit. So, you know. No, you ain't got to read it.
But back to Joe's point, the oil industry
yes.
is a cartel. That's all it is. I think America gets, what, 20 to 25% of its oil from the Middle East? That's all.
We're exporting more oil
yeah.
than we're importing that.
That's all.
We're exporting.
Exactly. Exactly.
Yeah.
This is a fucking fraud. It's a fucking hoax. This fucking government has been... Oh, fuck.
901-941.
What's that?
That's
that must be Ebony.
That's
got to be Ebony.
It's not me.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Why are you
blaming
me? It's
your elevator music that rings. Yeah.
I'm not even on the elevator. I'm at home right now, Joe. So just get over
it.
Oh,
you don't have your cell phone with me?
Don't try to blame me. Just because I have a life, babe. Don't be a hater.
Well, you're so happy because you got a fiancé now.
Yeah, but the oil industry will never be an open market. It'll never be that. And it's the most viable resource on the planet for every country in the world. And it's always going to be a closed market.
Hmm.
Always.
Yeah.
That's true.
Yeah.
Personally, I don't see anything wrong with trying to use alternative energies. So, I mean, if you can use the sun or if you can use water, I don't see anything wrong with that as opposed to using fossil fuels. You know,
I don't see anything wrong with it except that, like Kat said, it's not viable with today's technology. It still needs research.
No, in the UK, there are people who have built houses. I'm trying to remember the name of the show where people build their own houses, but we have people in the UK here who built their houses and they're run totally by solar.
Yeah, and they have solar panels on the roofs of their houses. Yeah.
Yeah, mm-hmm. and. They're fine.
Yeah.
It's working.
But you can't do that on a wide scale, though.
Yeah,
that's the problem.
Well, the wide scale is because government lacks the support for going that way totally.
No, government is not allowing it. They won't allow it.
Yeah, they're not allowing it, but it can be done. It's
Of course. But that would compromise the very thing that we're talking about. That would compromise the oil cartels, and they're not going to allow that to happen.
No, that's
Absolutely. So, you know, for somebody to say, well, you know, I've been hearing of using alternative energy for so long and nothing's happened, it's going to take too long, it's a bunch of crap. That's only because, hey, if you're going to take money out of the oil barons' pockets, what you think they're going to do? They're going to go and talk to their favorite congressman or senator and get their money back in their pockets.
Yeah.
True.
Oh, Lord.
That's true.
Like they're doing in Arizona.
How do you get food from the farm to the market, and from the market to the grocery store, and from the grocery store to your house? I mean, it doesn't, you know, birds don't bring it there. They don't have carrier pigeons.
Absolutely, and that's why on this show we talked about engine that go 100 miles on 1 gallon of gas, and that patty was bought in buried. So it's possible.
I got a solution to that. Grow your own, damn it. You got to worry about it. Grow your own.
Corn ethanol doesn't work right now.
Right. You know,
I think it works in Europe. I think in Brazil it's working, isn't it? In cars?
Yeah, electric cars here took off at one point, and
then
the government stopped supporting the building. The building of those cars, but they came out and people. Well, it saves you so much money as well because you don't have to just literally. It's like a battery charger.
Mm-hmm.
You charge that and it can last you for almost 7 days. You don't have to be putting fuel in every day, like every once a week or whatever we do. But it's like half or a quarter of the cost of running a car on fuel. So. I don't know why they got off that tip, because at one time it was very popular.
I also think that
the batteries are super expensive and they don't really have a safe way to dispose of those batteries.
I also think that a lot of these major cities have, I mean, you got blocks and blocks and blocks of old buildings and old refineries and things like that. Tear all of that shit down. That's what I mean. Tear all of that shit down and you grow crops on that land.
That's what Detroit should be doing right now.
The only problem with that,
you brought up a good
point. You know, the part of that problem is probably some of that land is so damn contaminated you can't grow anything on it. And if you do, you're causing more problems than you're helping.
You know, the Chinese are spending millions of dollars to buy up businesses and real estate in Detroit.
Yeah.
I can believe that.
Why not? It's cheap. It's dirt cheap right now.
Absolutely. Yeah, but we don't want. That's what happens when you buy $2 trillion worth of bonds, and you want to make sure that the money is viable. You buy influence in the government from whom you bought the bonds.
Isn't China the largest holder of our capital reserves?
I don't think so. I think it was at one time. It may still be.
No.
Then the Federal Reserve is.
Is the one. Yeah, the Federal Reserve is the one who holds most of our debt.
Now it is. Yeah.
The Federal Reserve.
And I think
they got the keys to the car. So.
Yeah. I think Japan might be. The
and
thing is, if we really understood economics, because we would have to say to ourselves, who the fuck is running this shit? Foreign countries shouldn't even own $10 million worth of our currency.
I'll agree. I didn't mean to cut you off, but I'll agree. I'm going to tell you, I'll say it like this. In every Muslim country that I was in abroad, there was no way possible for you to own one grain of sand in that country. You can rent it, but you won't own it.
I don't blame them.
I don't want to.
Yeah, that's true.
Well,
they're not even They're not even a part of the IMF, are they?
Oh, I think everybody's part of the International Monetary Fund. Yeah.
I don't think the Muslim nations are.
I think Dubai is. I think Abu Dhabi is.
I would say Dubai and probably Abu Dhabi. Bahrain, I don't know. But I mean,
they're probably too small.
Those countries have a lot of money though to be small. I mean, if you went to those places, it wouldn't be what you think. I mean, those people live great. I mean, a house here in the United States that might cost $3 or $4 million. Oh, that's an average home over there in those countries.
Wow.
I thought Abu Dhabi and Dubai, because they were predicting that these two emirates were going to be like the real example for the world. But then about a couple of years ago, they almost went broke because of the same type of problems with their real estate, commercial real estate, as we had here back in 2007, 2008 with our domestic real estate, non-commercial real estate.
Yeah, they'll build a lot. I mean, like, say, I know in Qatar, when they had their Asian Games, there's like the Olympics. They built all of these beautiful, elaborate apartments and villas and resorts just for the Asian Games. And now most of those buildings are just sitting there.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. They overextended themselves, It's the debt.
Yeah.
That is the weapon of the Rothschilds. It's debt.
You and the Rothschilds.
Yeah, well, you know, I'm assuming it's the Rothschild.
You and the Rothschild.
There you go.
I have a question for you guys. Can I ask a question real quick?
Go ahead, Kat.
You guys that were in the military and you're in the Middle East, can y'all each tell, what were your jobs over there? Do you want to say on air or do you not?
To defend this country.
Now, what was your MOS? You know what I mean.
We were in transportation in the military. Yeah. But
you don't want to tell us what your job was, what your MOS was?
I cannot say what I did outside of the military.
We just told you, we were in transportation.
Outside of the military, I spent
8 years.
Lord. I spent 8 years abroad. Outside of the military, and I really can't say exactly what I did.
But maybe Kat was asking about when you were in the military.
I said transportation, darling.
Oh, okay.
Well, she was.
I said transportation.
Okay. Can I ask a question? Have any of you guys had a pedicure recently?
Jesus. You go.
Yeah.
You
I have.
I'm gonna tell you. No,
I have.
I was having my pedicure.
I tell you, Ebony. I have.
Oh, lovely! And there were three black guys having pedicure. I thought it was brilliant.
Look, Ebony, did you get the hot rocks put on? Did you get the hot rocks put on your leg?
Yeah, I had everything. It was lovely, and
but them hot rocks were something else, aren't they?
You're such a metro man, Eric.
No, but you know what? I thought it was good to see the guys having
a
pedicure.
I'm a man. I give a damn.
Yeah.
Yeah, but
that's
Eric,
right. I'm a man.
No. That's fine. Eric, you're doing the right thing. Because you know what? When you're in bed, right, and a guy puts his feet on your back, right? If they're not...
They all think about that, Ebony. They've
You can't just clip your freaking nails, huh?
I'll tell you what happened, Joe.
More about that.
Ebony got the pedicure. She got her feet done because less than 24 hours ago, I was like, damn, why don't you get your feet done? Shit, you cutting me.
You deserve that one, Ebony.
No, you wish I cut you.
Those runner's dogs. That's what they were.
Yeah. Runs the marathon, but too tired to do anything else in bed.
When you run, you got to have your feet done every 2 weeks. So I do have them done every 2 weeks. But one of my sisters, she a sister on Facebook, she actually opened a new store. And I actually really, really commend her, because normally it's all the Vietnamese-type people who do it, do the shop.
Mm-hmm.
And everybody goes there and gets money. And for her to open it up, and she's doing nails, she's doing massage, she's got the tables, she's doing men's feet and women's feet, she's doing, you know, the painting, she does eyebrows, she does everything. I thought, really, I have to go and support her, and I did, and I thought it was really brilliant. And I feel amazing now.
See,
so
now,
now
you
like
should,
that in the UK,
should,
too?
Yeah.
Sorry?
Oh, yeah.
It's like that in the UK, too, where you got the Koreans and...
Yeah.
Man, they got the market corners.
Well,
yeah,
I'll
they
say
do.
This much. I know the Koreans and the Koreans and the Filipinos, for the most part, they'll also have a special service other than doing your feet. So, I'm just saying.
Okay, well, I don't know.
You can get a what you're saying, that you can get a happy you can get a happy ending.
Yeah.
Oh,
yes.
My God. There was an Asian couple that actually came in, and they're getting married tomorrow, and they had, and she had her nails done, he had his feet done, and his hand massaged, and they're getting married tomorrow. So I was like, wow. And they actually came to her shop, just passing by, and decided to
That is
so
nice.
That was amazing.
Do you think they were just passing by? They came in to check out the competition. That's what they were doing.
No, they didn't.
I'm intrigued by the happy ending.
Yeah, I think the fact that they're getting married
I knew somebody was going to go back there.
That's not the kind of happy ending.
Yeah, I think it's a happy ending.
Okay.
I was talking about a different type of happy ending.
Yeah, you're not talking about going into a massage shop and just saying,
I'm just saying. The brother had mentioned the fact that you can go to some of these places and get a happy ending, and I was intrigued by that.
Serious. I'm dead serious, and more especially,
and
you can
you
do that
the
abroad.
Happy ending? Now, hold on. Have you had a happy ending?
No, I haven't ever been. I have never been to one of those shops.
No, I'm asking, is it low? Or?
Yes, this is low.
Yeah, that's
right.
Low.
Have the happy ending low.
I cannot lie. I don't know.
You had a happy ending. Trap.
All I can tell you is I was a man with the best feet and nails around. Feet and hands around.
I guess that answered that question, huh?
There you go. That did answer.
A little polishing going on in other places. Okay.
I got a little shop
right next door, but I've noticed that at these inopportune times, police happen to show up, so I've never gone into the place.
Well, you know what that is? You know what that says? You know what that says? Stay away from there. Don't you go in there.
Yeah.
I agree.
I never go there.
If that's not a neon sign for happy endings, I don't know what is.
Damn right about that. Now, what about just recently, this lady that was on the East Coast, she was running this, I think it was a massage parlor or something, they was having sex in there and had people coming in at crazy times or whatever. I mean, this was like something way up north around Rhode Island or something like that. I mean, supposed to have been like a hush-hush type community, you know, where upscale people live. It was in the news.
Didn't hear about that one.
Oh, yeah, I remember about that.
Yeah, she ran a prostitution.
Yeah, I heard about that one.
Well, a lot of these
that goes on in D.C. every day. I mean, that goes on in D.C. on a daily basis. So, I mean, okay.
What about that man about 4 years ago? She said that she was going to name names about judges and lawyers and cops, and the next day they found her. Oh. Suicide.
She was hung in
they
hung her. They hung her in her backyard. Yeah, uh-huh. D.C. Madam.
Suicide, right?
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
Yep. Yeah.
That lady,
that lady said on the air.
I heard her on the Alex Jones show, and she said in a couple of days I'm going to be revealing names. Are you stupid? You do it now.
Yeah.
You do it now. You don't wait.
Yeah.
You don't advertise you're going to do it. You do it now.
Right.
Wow.
Yeah, you're right.
You have a And on top of that, I think you better watch out
because someone might be naming you.
No, baby, I ain't worried about that. I don't deal with them type of people. No.
You're happy ending. May not be so happy.
But like I was going to say, if you're going to name names and stuff like that, you also have that insurance, that little insurance card that says, hey, Jay, if something happens to me, mail this to every news place that you know. If something happens to me, you always got to have that person that you know, or you can do it yourself, you know.
That's what supposedly Bill Cooper had.
Yeah.
That's what Snowden's got. And Snowden, I believe in what he did. A lot of people don't like what Snowden did because they said, well, you work for the NSA, you sign a confidentiality agreement, you're not supposed to reveal what the NSA is doing. Are you fucking kidding me?
We know, you know, that's your hero, Joe, we know.
And he's got stuff
spread out around the place, just in case.
Exactly. I'm not upset with him, man. And, you know, to the guy that was on early at the very beginning, I don't remember his name, whatever.
Chris.
When Joe says, hey, get the fuck out, that's exactly how I meant that, you know. Hey, you know, don't take the shit
all right. Cause it really didn't sound like that, Lo. It sounded like you were telling him point blank that get the fuck out of here.
Man, this is Mr. Talk Show, right?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so it's not my show to tell. If he was at my house right now, I said, man, get the fuck out of my house. That's different. So, you know, it is what it is. And I normally don't come back and put a soft shoe on this. But I'm doing it just for the sake of, you know, I know the guy likes the show, and I don't want to come in and he don't say anything because I'm on or vice versa. So, you know, I'm not cutting.
Yeah, but the way that I say it, it is a little... You know, I don't try to say it at people unless I'm really fucking mad at somebody. But, you know, I just like, get the fuck out of here, you know.
Yeah, well, okay, man. You ain't got to try to throw your fake ass
You know, it's okay. It's okay. We going to all sing Kumbaya in a minute and everything will be
fine. Leave Low out of it. Leave Low out of it, man, right?
I'm saying by myself. Hell yeah.
Lord. All right, y'all. I got to get up out of here. I need to go and start my weekend.
Yeah, don't forget your pedicure, Eric.
No, not this week.
Yeah.
Not this week. Okay, not this week.
Remember last time Eric said somebody he got that long ass eyebrow arch too.
Hey, what?
That's right. I did get
that
arch.
One long
eyebrow. It's a difference. They're not arched. They're cleaned up. They're not. Okay. I ain't walking around with more hair on my eyes than I got the rest of my body. No. I don't have
like
a part. They are not
arched. Mr. Tokyo becoming more and more attractive. I call
it's like the guy who's working for, playing for UCLA. He has the unibrow.
I'm gonna leave you guys, but please, like I said, hey, please read that book I mentioned because everything that's going on in the world right now is in that book, all of it.
Thank you for your last words, and you have a great weekend.
Absolutely.
All right, Kat, where you at? You up?
I wasn't the last one in.
Kat?
I was the last
Kat. Yeah. Let me handle this. This is my order. I'm doing this here. Thank y'all.
No, because when I talk first, everybody else talks, and I don't get to say what I want to say. So I'm not going to say anything. Just close it down. No, fuck it.
Kat,
fuck all of you.
This is your time.
Come on, Kat.
Lo is... Dr. Jekyll and Mr. Hyde, apparently. That's all I have to say.
Oh. That's wounding. Come on.
Mm-hmm.
You can't even come back in.
All right, thank you, Kat. Have a great weekend. No, Enjoy the Austin weekend weather. It's going to be a hot one, that's for sure. I know. All right. Thank you, Kat. Okay, Knowledge, you up.
Great show as always, Eric. Fun to be here, and everybody have a good weekend.
Thank you, Knowledge.
All right, thanks. Now, y'all know what? I'm going to tell y'all one thing right now. Knowledge hasn't been drinking any Chardonnay today. I'm going to tell you, because that was too quick.
Wow.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
All right. Oh, Lord. All right, Ebony, your turn.
Okay, great show. I had been listening from the top, you know, even though I was having my manicure and pedicure at the same time. But, like, I don't know why you're snoring. Okay, stop it. But just to say that I would advise you guys to go out and do some relaxation this weekend. Go have a pedicure. Go have some, do some love, right? And Joe, remember from my show this morning, I did say go and do something childlike. Mm-hmm. So, you know, I'm going to still advocate that for you guys. Go do something childlike, have some fun, and have a great weekend. Love you all.
God,
that's
look who's going to have a happy ending tonight for sure.
Okay.
Yeah, I'm going to get
thank you, Ebony.
Up,
oh, I know it.
Wow, that's just crazy. All right, thank you, Kat. I mean, I'm so sorry. Thank you, Ebony. Okay, my bad. All right, go ahead, Joe. You last one standing.
All right, everybody have a good weekend. The latter part of the show was really interesting. Hope everybody enjoys the weather, enjoys their own particular type of happy endings. And, you know me, man, a few words. Hasta la vista.
All right, sir. Thank you. You have a great weekend, and see you Monday.
Thanks. You too. Bye-bye.
Bye. All right, y'all. Another great show here on Let's Talk, man. I'm telling you, Freedom Friday. That's why we call it Freedom Friday, because you never know where we're going to end up. We start one place and end up somewhere else. But a lot of great knowledge was passed on today. Hey, man, I'm telling you, I want to thank everybody that participated. You know, Knowledge, Kat, Ebony, Joe, Lowe, Vernon, Goofy, everybody that was listening that didn't chime in, the chat room, Benny, Chef Rob, Easy Rider, GGT183, of course, Knowledge, and everybody else just out there listening on your own little device, what have you, because without y'all, I wouldn't have a show, and y'all make it as good as it is or can be. All right, well, y'all, it's been a good one, I'm telling you. And basically, only thing, my last words are going to be simple and to the point. Don't be hypocrite. That's all I'm going to say. Whatever you're doing, you know, do it right. Okay? Do it right. If you're for it, you're for it. If you're against it, you're against it. Simple. You know, but get off that fence. Okay? Stand for something. If it's just a little thing, just stand for something. Okay? That's all I got to say. All right, y'all. Well, let's see, Monday is Soapbox Monday. Once again, where you the caller basically decide what the topic is and how long we talk about it and where we go from there. Hey, I'm always here. So I'll see y'all then. Don't forget to keep smiling, show appreciation, and forgive with an open heart. But before you do, make sure you have given yourself and your heart is clean as well. Enjoy your weekend. Have fun. You know, if you have nice weather, get outside. Get outside. Don't sit in the house all weekend not doing nothing, okay? Oh, fellas, this is a great weekend for us because the first NFL football game is played this Sunday. Thank you. It's that time of the year once again. Football season is here. Whew, it's been a long time. So, we know we're going to have some fun anyway. But besides that, y'all have a good one. Monday, 2 p.m. Central, 3 Eastern, 12 Pacific. Oh, Goofy. I got to mention Goofy. I don't know if I did or not, but I always got to give my shout out to Goofy. Goofy does keep it real. All right. But until Monday, y'all have a good one. We're going to go out here with the Friday mix. and I see y'all then. I am out of here.
Austrian rock singer Falco records,
Amadeus!